we now have gotten to the place in which God is about to move on the scene using Joseph's leadership for the direct deliverance. Now remember, the deliverance of Israel was not deliverance physically. That was there. It was the fact that through the interaction with Joseph and his brethren that we will read of now coming up in the next several chapters was the deliverance of their souls. And all 10 came to faith in Jehovah God. And all the 12 tribes, were able to be, the entire family of Jacob. So it's a tremendous thing. And when we get into the interaction of Joseph and his brethren, we'll take some time there because that's very instructive on how to follow the Lord and how to work. But let's go here to chapter 41. We started that last week. And we see the working of God. Remember the disappointment here. 10 years he's been in prison, 10 years of of being in Egypt and going through what he's going through. And now it looks like he's going to be delivered. The dreams of the butler and the baker, and he asks the butler to remember him and to. More years. 2 years is a long time. But God was preparing Joseph, because remember, folks, being at the seat of the power of the world, the temptations and pressures would be enormous. And to be able to handle that and to administrate Egypt under the Pharaoh, was taking all of this training. He was in huge training up until that point, both in Potiphar's house and in being in leadership of this royal prison. These were royal prisoners that were down in this prison. So he was learning much through this time. And of course, God was keeping him. There's not one negative word said about Joseph. He kept, God was with him because he was with God. God was enough for him. It was enough for him as a slave. It was enough for him as a slave in prison. He learned that the joy of life is knowing the Lord, not having things go our way. What a huge lesson to learn. And so he had these final 2 years in which God was preparing things. And remember also, Satan himself and his top demonic powers are always mainly present at the world power. And so Egypt was the world power at this time. No other nation rivaled Egypt. So when Joseph goes to the throne, he's going, the very hat of the Pharaoh depicted the serpent, depicted Satan, depicted the gods, that's the demons. And so Pharaoh himself was a god. And so he goes and he's on the throne right next to Pharaoh. And so he's sitting there at the very seat of Satan's power. So he had to be ready. By the way, that's why whether you like throughout the years your president or not, you need to pray for him, because I can't imagine how much time Lucifer spends in the White House. Don't be surprised by the foolish things. Remember, some of the better presidents have done some things that really disappoint us. Well, that shouldn't surprise us, because they are facing enormous satanic power. So we got to realize, he gets apprehended, or he's at 17, and his brothers send him on. He's now at 39 years of age, and he has all these number of years. And so this is not God being slow in what he's doing. It's God working in his perfect time. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. God is he will do things perfectly. We're impatient. Thank God he's patient. That's why it says over and over, wait on the Lord. Trust him. His way, his timing is right. If you're walking with God, you'll be okay. If you're not, you're going to be in trouble. So just a quick review. The butler was on duty at the time that the Pharaoh tells his dream. No accident. And all of the wise men, the power brokers, that Satan was using to control Pharaoh were all absolutely stumped. They went into brain lock because they would have figured something out. This dream you could have come up with all kinds of interpretations on. But I can tell you what, when Pharaoh said it, they knew it was God. And a fear of God paralyzed them. So we see God very significantly moving here, because that's an amazing thing that they did not step up. And doesn't Satan a lot of times be able to figure things out? Satan was stopped. In fact, Satan was not in that courtroom that day, in that throne room. Just like when we pray and we have at Pentecost and other times when the heavens are rent and the power and the Spirit of God comes down, that's really what you had in this throne room. So when it was the right time, God opened the heavens. And I'm not going to read all those verses again, but the butler, at the risk of his life, bringing up what happened 2 years ago, which is not what he wanted to bring up to Pharaoh's memory, but God touched him. He went ahead and explained how Joseph, a young, and by the way, I mentioned last week, he names him as a Hebrew. How many Hebrews were there? Just a few dozen. This was not a big nation. He was a Hebrew, a worshiper of the true God. So the butler knew that. That means that everybody in prison knew that. That means that Potiphar's house knew that. See, there was a lot going on that we don't have recorded here of the outspoken testimony of Joseph. And so he tells this to Pharaoh, and let's pick this up verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. Isn't that great? And I have heard say of thee that thou canst interpret a dream, or understand a dream to interpret it. And we mentioned this, but verse 16 is glorious. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me, God. Now, that's very significant. It's not in me, God. This young man understood every step of the way in what was of God, and he had met with the Lord every day. He had had tremendous fellowship with the Lord. He realized that his interpretation with the butler and the baker was of God. He understood his standing before Pharaoh was a miracle of God. And so he clearly has lost all ownership of himself, all sense of self-ambition. He is ready to take the throne. He first thing he says, don't look at me, God. It's God. Now, there's another thing here. Who does Pharaoh think he is? God. Who do the sorcerers all around him represent? The gods. And he's saying, none of you are gods. God. Powerful moment that could have taken his head off in a second. You know, when God's working, don't compromise because you want to help God along the way. Okay? Stick right with a strong testimony. If God got you there, God's one that will keep you there, and God will advance you. Don't mix human effort with divine leadership. And so he is outspoken, risking his life, and he says, God's going to give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now, Pharaoh is desperate here because he knew the dream was from God. All of the wise men, the sorcerers, knew the dream was from God. And I can tell you right now, there was the fear of God all over that place. Satan was barred from there. They had never felt like this in their life. Folks, when God comes on a scene, it changes everything. See, don't evaluate things from your human perspective. When you pray, God can change things on a dime. God can move on and change things, and that's what you've got to believe. You've got to believe that the God in heaven, when he moves, he moves. He can change your family like that. He can change the atmosphere in situations just like that. Folks, we have got to believe our God is able. And when he is moving, we must acknowledge that. So Pharaoh immediately answers and doesn't say anything else. He gives, what's he saying? He's saying, Joseph, I believe you, and I'm going to tell you the story. Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And I'll go ahead and read this. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine cattle, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good, and behold, seven ears withered, thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this to the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And I'd love to have looked at all the faces of those guys, you know. This was a dramatic moment. I mean, you're at the superpower headquarters. I'm not exaggerating. Believe me, if you had been in Egypt at this time, you would have been overawed. Even with all of our modern technology, Egypt was advanced. It had huge, I mean, it's beautiful, phenomenal. And really, Washington doesn't, in some of the key places there, don't measure up to what the Egyptians had. It was just phenomenal. And so here he's standing there and he says, these birds over here couldn't give an answer. You've got it from God. And so it's a great moment. And there is a great sense of supernatural impending doom. He's dissatisfied with his so-called expert. He senses the power of God upon Joseph. And so God is now moving. Now, let's go back to Joseph for a minute. Joseph remembers a dream here, I have a feeling. What was his dream? He was at some point going to rule. He had that vision, and he had it twice. And that his family was actually going to come and bow before him. Now, I'm not sure he got it all at this point, because he's still just simply being a servant of the Lord. But all the way along, Joseph had divine destiny. Now, ladies, I want to stop here, because this is a very important application. Every one of you have divine destiny. Joseph's calling really is not as great as your calling in this New Testament age. And God has given you a vision in the Word of God. You look at like Ephesians chapter 4. You look at some of the great promises that we just covered in 1 Peter. You look at what God says about who you are and what you have and what you can accomplish and your authority and your place in Christ. It is absolutely phenomenal. Did you know that you also sit on the throne? You are in Christ on the throne today. Now, one of Satan's great master deceptions is, you're nobody. You're nobody. Now, Joseph, prior to coming up in that throne room, he was a nobody. A slave is a nobody. He's property. And number two, he's in prison. He's a nobody. And in a moment, he becomes somebody. Okay. But he was somebody because of Joseph. No, he's somebody because of God. And that's very important. See, that gets you through the trials. That gets you through the pressures. Because you got to realize that we're somebody, and God's just a little part of our life. We've got to become nobody, and God's got to become everything, and we've got to be able to be trusted with power. We have so much power and so much opportunity that it's just hard for me to even explain. But our problem is we get in the way. We're about ourselves. So that's why I'm saying when these hard times come, you got to realize, just like Joseph, and sometimes they are excruciatingly impossible. But this is to cause you to realize, God is working in me. And if I will walk with God and meet with Him, He will meet with me, and I will have a life that will fulfill the vision that God has given me. Folks, this is deep, vital faith that makes the difference in a person's life. You've got to believe you are somebody in Christ. And you've got to believe that your life has a vision. And you have got to understand that the things that seem to be so negative are the very things that will make that vision possible. Now, what I just said there in the last 3 minutes. If you can get a hold of that, your life will be dynamically changed. And that's what we see exemplified here in the life of Joseph. So Joseph begins to declare, and I'll just simply get us started here on this, verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. And God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showed unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers of the land to take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. So here you have a very crisis point. At this moment, now folks, you got to realize here, he was not giving his word. This is revelation. You even have it in the Bible now. Okay, this is inspired revelation. So when you are speaking on the behalf of God, you have the power of God to substantiate what you're saying, even though humanly, why would people take it that seriously? And so what you have here is that immediately we're going to find that this entire throne room, knowing God is here, they don't understand it fully, but Satan is gone. They have no power because Satan is gone. They realize the devastating prophecy that has just been given. 7 years of famine in Egypt would ruin it. It would bring it to its knees. It would be gone. You can't have in the ancient world 7 years of a grinding famine. And so everybody is just, the fear of God has fallen on that place based upon the word of God. Now you note that decisions will be made here by Pharaoh purely upon the word of God. And I want to encourage you to realize you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Do not take the Bible lightly. By the way, when you teach your children, don't teach it to them in a light fashion. It is thus saith the Lord. And God, as he promised through Christ in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit will convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will take the word, he will illumine the word, he will bring it back to remembrance, he will cause people to be brought under great conviction. And if we will fully trust God's word, we will see God do what we see here. Satan, if we're praying, will be pushed back, and the word of God will be made real. Do you realize, folks, in our culture today, the regular preaching and teaching here is counterculture almost in every way anymore. It used to always be that way, but it is. But even visitors that come, for the most part, because folks have been praying and because God's word is God's word, they still leave with a respect for what is said, because it is thus saith the Lord. So realize that in witnessing. Realize that especially in discipleship. Discipleship of your children. The Bible is powerful. And see, if you're living in it and you're believing God and you're letting God transform you through it and you're rejoicing in even the hard things in your life, the word of God will be precious and you will have a confidence. This is true. But if you're living in defeat, if you're not really walking with the Lord, see, Joseph was constantly communing with God. So when he spoke, he had a convincement with it. You've got to have that convincement that comes from a very personal walk with God. And folks, I'm telling you, I remember over and over and over as a kid with my parents, when they spoke the word of God, there was a fear that came in my heart. It was true. I knew it was true. I never questioned the word of God. And I went to a public school. I went through the time when evolution really began to explode on the scene and all of that. I never questioned it. Questioned creation because thus saith the Lord. So it's very important for us to see this. And so God gives him now a great opportunity. And so the decision that's going to be made based upon the word of God is actually going to fulfill God's prophecy about Joseph. And God is going to put him in a place in which he's not going to rule for rulership's sake. This isn't a reward for all that he's been through. He is simply going to continue to be a servant on the throne with the power to deliver Israel. Jesus has given us the throne, not for the purpose of our own will, but to deliver. And let me just say this. Remember, any leadership role that you have is never so that you can have leadership. Leadership is always for the sake of deliverance. It's always for the sake of servanthood. And because he had been tested for all of these years, he was able then to be trusted to be on that throne. And remember, he's going to sit on that throne for 9 more years until he is 39. That's where I came up with 39. Until he's 39 years of age before he sees his family. So even that's a long time. So he's serving, serving, serving. So next week we will look at now this tremendous decision on the part of Pharaoh and everyone around them. It was good in the eyes not only of Pharaoh but of his servants, and we're going to see how God on a dime changes the situation and allows this to occur. So what I would like you to do in your DBS here this morning is to look at this. This is where we're going to jump to next week. Verses 37 to 40. 37 to 40, because I want you, in light of everything I've said, I want you to look at how this man who had the total power, absolute power over life and death for everybody, who is supposed to be the God, and all of these rulers around him who were demonically controlled, I want you to put that in that perspective and just see how marvelous those verses are. And I think you can even make some applications to what God can do. Okay? So let's marvel in God's power here, verses 37 to 40.